he really needs some QA elves or something like that.
Right? Like, you have a troop of enslaved people. You could probably figure some shit out. You have, like, all those Martians from that other movie we reviewed. I'm just a jolly man who's making you work for no money. Do you remember?
I didn't see that, but I'm glad you got it.
He flicks the tear, and then Bill, who's walking up on him, goes, bleep, and like a frog, he catches it out of the air and he eats it. And he's like, crunch, crunch, crunch. It's so fucking cute. Like, I don't know if anything more romantic than eating somebody else's tears.
Frozen tear.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's so funny.
Okay, so he's like, I don't need you. I don't need nobody.
Yeah, Opus pretty much starts like chewing Bill out. And this is like the first of two moments where he's just like kind of, he's angry over something else, but he's taking it out on Bill.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy about Opus taking out his anger on Bill. No. That being said, I do like a flawed protagonist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He gets so frustrated. I think it goes back to the narrative and he's like, I never wanted a sidekick.
Right.
Right. But Bill seems to hang around and he marches around. Did you notice they're kind of on like a Grinch Who Stole Christmas like cliff? Yeah. And Opus marches down and around the side. And then Bill's like, I better too. But he's got a trash can on his leg. So he's like, ah! He doesn't make any noise because he's Bill. But he falls off. And then the cacophony of noises is like a woman screaming and the chicken crowing and like a cow mooing.
Right. And like right after that moment, that's when Opus says that he never wanted a sidekick, mm-hmm. but he found, he say that he rescued Bill from a science lab that had taken out his brain and replaced it with tater tots?
Yes. I've met people who are dumber than tater tots and I'm super okay with that.
You want to know what my note is?
No, I do want to know.
Okay.
I said, no, I do, but like I do, I want to know.
Right. My brains are replaced with tater tots, and I turned out tater top.
Okay, so he's walking through town, and then the song plays, which I think is one of our... How many have we had now? Like, themed songs for movies we've done. Probably three or four at this point.
I can think of two outside of this one. Little Shop of Horrors.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
Oh, Earth Girls Are Easy. Okay, forgot that.
Pet Cemetery. Never Ending Story, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, that's five. Is this number six?
Apparently. Hey, applauders, if you know of any others that we're missing, feel free to comment on or send us an email and we might talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, but we are listening to what I have dubbed, because I didn't see it in the credits, Flightless Earthbound Blues.
That's what I put on my notes.
High five. So, Flightless Earthbound Blues plays.
Right, and before that, In my notes, I have like comments that I make to Opus.
Oh, please do. Tell me what you would tell Opus right now.
Okay, Opus, when writing a letter to Santa Claus, you don't need to stop to complain about Bill. Opus, I love you, but you are better than that.
I like to think of you as counselor,
mm-hmm.
like a good counselor.
Right. Well, okay. like not like the leader of a support group where they have to monitor other people.
Yeah.
A one-on-one counselor.
Yeah. I like you as this one-on-one counselor. Mm-hmm. Do it. Okay. More of that.
I will.
Oh, were you done?
That was done. And then it goes to original song, Flightless Earthbound Blues. And then all three of those birds will be cooked and served to their families a la Titus Andronicus.
Okay, I like that. I just called them asshole seagulls.
Bully birds. That's how I noted them.
Yeah, they're just like, I have transgressed the gossamer bonds and blah, blah, blah. Like, they're just teasing him because they know he wants to fly. And like, I have never had friends like that. I've had a gamut of different types of friends, but I've never had somebody who just like leaned into me that hard, except for like one bully in sixth grade. And like, it was just because I was the biggest kid and he wanted to like prove he could be mean to like the biggest kid.
Yeah. Elementary school was a little bit like that for me. Like, I feel like I relate hard to Opus, you know, like I once had this girl in fifth grade who we would like wait in line to get into our classrooms. And she comes and I'm like, you know, standing in line, just minding my own business. But I was a weird kid. And
you still are, but it's what I like about you.
Thank you. I've grown into my weirdness. But she comes over to me and she's like, you have to stand 6 feet away from me. And so I was like, okay, I don't really know why, but okay. And so I'm very naive. Even to this day, I'm pretty naive. But so I move like 6 feet back and then she comes and walks over to me.
So
and
you have to move 6 feet more?
What I did is, so like our classroom is right over here, but the building would like curve around. And so I walked to the other side of the building.
Yes.
And then I just like sat there and I waited for her to like either poke her nose around there or just leave me alone. And then she never did that again.
I love malicious compliance.
Yeah.
Be Lydia, like, oh, that's pretty good.
Okay. Okay. You want me to do the thing that's, you know, ultimately like stupid. And like, I will go so hard into that. I will go so hard into it. You won't even realize that I'm the one in control now.
Back no, I like it. Like, yeah. Like you went all the way around the book to the other cover before you were like, and now I flip the script.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That was fifth grade Lydia.
Yeah. Fifth grade Lydia.
Imagine 40-year-old Lydia.
Oh, I don't have to imagine. I know 40-year-old Lydia and she's gorgeous. I didn't ever figure it out until. Okay. So like I put myself at the bottom of the pecking order until I was through sixth grade. Like I did it to myself. I was like, I'm the worst of the worst and nobody likes me. And so I just shut up, sat down and backed off. And I remember in sixth grade, I was going through it because my parents were going like nearly half of everybody of all time. In fact, I came into class and I was like, oh, I'm so weird because my parents got a divorce. And half the classroom was like, nope, same. Hi, welcome. And I was like, oh, okay. Right. Well, that was after, but like the week they told me, I ended up at camp and this guy was antagonizing me. The guy was antagonizing me and he came at me pretty hard while we were walking up a trail. And I probably told the story on the podcast. It's stupid and gross and I don't want to go through the whole thing, but he like started making fun of me to my face. But I knew that my sixth grade teacher, who wasn't a, he was a fantastic teacher. He just couldn't find a way to intervene because like the guy never punched me in the face. I never took him to the ground. He would just aggress on me and like push me and stuff. And so like he was coming at me while we were at camp and I just was like done. I was so done that I just pushed him off the side of a sloping trail and he rolled down the ivy. Like, what was he going to do? I got beat up by a girl. You didn't get beat up by a girl. You were like aggressing on a girl and she shoved you off the side of a trail because you were being a bag. So, yeah. After that, I realized that I could be funny and mean. And I just did that for the next 4 years. Maybe all the way through high school. Did I do that for the next 8 years?
I don't remember you ever being mean. You were always one of the nicest people I ever knew.
That
so,
is.
So if someone out there remembers Naomi as being a feel free to let us know.
There were times when I was senselessly cruel and I probably thought I was being funny in that same way. Did you ever watch 30 Rock?
No.
So Liz Lemon, at one point, she's like, I was the kid who was picked on all the way through high school and nobody liked me and blah, blah, blah. And then they cut to a girl. She goes to her home, her reunion. And they're like, you were the most evil. And then it cuts to from her perspective of like, well, she looked through a telescope to like, and that's why your mom has pill problems. I think I might have been Liz Lemon. Like, I might have been like relentlessly cruel at points and I don't remember it. Because I thought I was being Opus, but I was actually being caustic.
Yeah. In elementary school, I don't remember being very like confrontational. I was very much in my shell because I came from a private Christian school that was also our church. And the
was
thing
it,
about
was it CFC?
No.
Oh, good.
It
but
doesn't
still not great.
It doesn't exist anymore. But like the thing about sermons in the 90s and 80s is that like and like even to this day, it's always like the thing that I picked up on was you're different from the rest of the world because you're a Christian. And the rest of the world's going to hate you. And then I get dropped into a public school and I think everybody's going to hate me because I'm a Christian. And that's why I was in my shell and it was easy to pick on me. And then in junior high, I was just like hormones were going through the roof, I think. And I was just like,
it's an ugly time.
Yeah. And I like really kind of leaned into like my anger as like a way of kind of like guarding myself. So in. Yeah. So if anybody were to come back to me and be like, you were an asshole to me, then I would be like, that's valid. Because like even in high school, like in high school, I really just didn't want to be there anymore. I didn't want to be in public school. I didn't want to be surrounded by a bunch of people that I didn't really know for no real reason that I could see.
I checked out my whole senior year. Everyone that I knew and loved was gone, save for like two people.
Mm-hmm.
And like probably not even two. People who were like, oh, she's like older and a senior and we like hang out with her. But I was like, yeah, no, everyone I know left a year ago and I'm here alone now.
Right. Because you started in drama in your
10th grade.
And yeah. I started in drama in my 11th grade.
Yeah. And I, so, I got together with Jen.
Yeah.
And then like all except for like two people.
Because mm-hmm. that was a solid group that we had.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they all graduated and went away. And I was like, and then the crappy guy replaced Hendrickson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, this is all garbage now. And why would anybody want to do this? Mm-hmm. And I checked out my entire scene, like more than senioritis. I had senior cancer.
So so we've been talking for like 15 minutes about bullies in school and everything.
Yeah, okay, so then the
did you notice how like one of these guys is Plucky Duck? One of the ducks is
Plucky
Duck.
Okay, he sounded like Daffy Duck to me, but I was like, God, he must be a voice actor from Tiny Toons.
I wonder if they actually had a Daffy Duck and a, like, or the Daffy Duck and a, no, a Daffy Duck and the Plucky Duck. Like, there are multiple...
Totally would get that. But they, and you pointed out that they are the Three Stooges. Like the three main seagulls are the Three Stooges. And I think that's pretty funny.
They go nyuk, nyuk, nyuk.
They nyuk, nyuk, nyuk. And like, that's a thing Abel do sometimes. Like if you, okay, so autism is funny, but if you want to let Abraham know you're joking, one of the few things you can do, like other than saying I'm joking, which kind of ruins it, right? If you're like, nyuk, 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 he'll be like, oh, you're being that guy.
Okay, so the guy who does the voice of the ducks is Joe Alisky, and he does do... like this is just like towards the beginning of his his filmography on IMDb, but he does Duck Dodgers. So that sounds like Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
So, and I think he does the voice of all three of the ducks. So.
Oh.
Yes. I like that. I like it when they're these monochrome ducks. Sorry, they're not ducks. Are they ducks or are they seagulls?
It's cool. They're credited as the ducks.
Okay, fine.
But maybe they're seagulls?
And, well, the seagulls probably would have gone in the water. Spoilers. But, like, I get it. Okay.
Ducks go in the water, too. But maybe not the cold water.
Not as much as seagulls.
Yeah.
Seagulls don't give up.
All right.
Okay, so you know what we should do? We should cut away from these stupid... I credit them as seagulls this entire time.
That's
so
okay.
You know how I can't remember actors' names? I'm going to call them the seagulls. But we cut away from them. Guess who we go to?
We go to Truffle.
I love Truffles. Okay. He's more delusional than Opus.
Mm-hmm.
He is a pig who is everything Piglet should have been, but wasn't.
He's got a French accent.
He's got a paper cone nose that he wears as a hat sometimes, but mostly he uses it to run into stuff and knock old ladies' wigs off.
So does he actually see himself as a rhinoceros?
A rhinoceros!
Or is it like a bit?
He calls himself a rhinoceros and he runs into stuff a lot.
Okay.
And then only, he runs into Opus. He's like, oh, Opus, you have a giant rutabaga on your nose. And Opus is like, that is my nose.
And doesn't Opus say something about like, you're not a rhinoceros? And then he like puts the paper thing onto his ear and he's like, what about the buffalo?
Yes. Because he's like, I'm late for my support group. But
right.
During this intermission, it's a very short rapport moment. Yeah. Bill goes into a wig shop and then comes out with a sparkly afro wig.
Rainbow. Which
it's a sparkly rainbow afro wig. And I was like,
polka dot circus, polka dot, polka dot.
And I was like, years before, decades before, suck it, because that's the best. That's where I think of afro wigs from, rainbow afro wigs from. And added sparkles. They don't have sparkles in Madagascar. Or Madagascar 2, or whatever. The hallucinogenic, weird-ass dream that is that movie. You know what I'm saying?
My note is just, fashion icon, Bill the Cat.
Yes. Gorgeous.
Self-help clinic, Earthbound Birds Anonymous.
Self-help groups ran by Ronald Ann.
Mm-hmm.
That's the little girl we're introduced to. She opens the door that Bill that Opus goes up to. Bill has to stay outside because he's not a bird.
I do like that. To give Opus credit, he does recognize Bill's support, but he still is like, please stay outside and don't give anybody rabies.
Fair. And that is the advice I'd give to anybody.
Right.
So we enter a room. Now, Ronald Anns is a little black girl who is featured in the Opus comics frequently. She does run several support groups throughout the comic itself, as I recall. And she is like the voice of reason. She's very much, well, she oscillates between the voice of reason and the voice of insanity that is getting mental health help. You know what I mean? Like, we all need it. I'm a fan, but like, there's a lot of like in depth, like, here's something that will illuminate your soul. And then there's here like, and how do you feel about that? Like, that's not helping. I know how I feel. I told you how I feel. All right. But she is holding a group with a penguin, that is Opus, a chicken, and a kiwi named George.
And the chicken is voiced by Tress MacNeille. And then the kiwi is voiced by Robin Williams, which, like, when I first watched it, I was like, that sounds like Robin Williams, but I didn't see it in the credits because we talked about that already.
Always.
And then I looked into IMDb and it was like, it is Robin Williams. It's, I was right.
Gorgeous. Oh. Because Opus is the first to stand up. He goes, hello, my name is Opus. Oh, by the way, I have a phobia of AA groups. It's a stupid thing. I just can't do group therapy, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. It works. If it works for you, by God, go and do, right? But I can't be authentic in front of large groups of people like that. I feel like I have to do PR work. So I feel Opus when he gets up there and he's just like, my name is Opus and I have a thing about I have addiction to flapping or flopping or whatever he actually says. Mm-hmm. And then he gets interrupted by George, who's just like, oh, well, might feel that way, but what if your wife left you for an albatross?
He's always screaming the word albatross, right? And how his wife Dolores left him because he's a kiwi. And here's the thing about kiwis. They have little vestiges that are so small, they can't technically be considered wings. They're just like these little like nubbins on the side of their. Yeah, they're adorable. They're adorable. But he just has absolutely nothing to give Dolores. And apparently
she wants to go for size, not quality. Mm-hmm. An albatross, and then that sets off the chicken, who's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like a 747. They're like both actively delusional. Yeah. And Opus is like, huh. And then they start rolling around the room and like kicking over furniture. And I'm like, yeah, I'd probably check out about then too.
Right. And Tress MacNeille does the voice of the chicken, and she's just like a voice actor from my childhood. She did the voice of Dot Warner from Animaniacs. She did the voice of Skinner's mom from The Simpsons.
Yes!
She does a voice work in Princess Mononoke. And I'm just like...
like the old lady from Mononoke?
I think not so. She does various voices in that. So I think she does do... like she's just been in like everything.
Yes. She's a classic voice actor stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and she's in a lot of like Disney stuff recently, but I hear her voice, and she's part of the reason why I sometimes like tune in, because like there are just little things that voice actors mm-hmm. do on a regular basis that lets you like that. It leads you into like being like, oh, I know that voice actor.
She has a very specific, and Jen can correct me, but it's a vocal fry, I think it is, where she like on the back ends of words, like, rrs it up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I know that lady.
Right. And part of the reason why I remember her voice is because she does the crazy cat lady from The Simpsons.
Yes.
And I was like, I want to be her. Even as a kid, I was like, yes, I want to be a crazy cat lady. I want to throw all my cats at people, but my cats will still love me and come to me.
If a crazy cat lady was a chicken from a 1991 obscure Opus cartoon, it would be that.
Yeah.
And it was that.
Yeah.
And it's what this movie, it gave that whole scene, which like it would have been a weird back and forth between the Kiwi George and Opus Penguin. Like mm-hmm. it could have been like a weird like male dynamic. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there was a crazier female chicken in the room and the entire time Roland Ann is like, yes, let's engage with that.
Yeah.
She might as well have said, I love that journey for you.
Did you have something?
Oh, I know Trish MacNeille best as Gadget from Rescue Rangers.
We all wanted to be Gadget.
Yeah.
If there was a thing between us, it would be that we all wanted to be Gadget.
Yeah.
Just wanted to add my little why I like this person?
She's got a great filmography, and you've probably heard her in more things than you realize.
So Opus gets sick of it. He walks out the door. He gets confronted by a cockroach in drag. And I only say that not to be derogatory, because he's like, and this is my impression, he's like, "Hey, is this where cross-dressing cockroaches in crisis meet?"
And this cockroach is voiced by
Dustin Hoffman. Is this? What the
I think the cockroach's name is Milktoast.
No. Like an early version of Marshmallow from Bob's Burgers. Little Milktoast Marshmallow.
Milktoast.
I appreciate that spelling. Mm-hmm. And I hate it, but I like it.
Also, I want to know what the crisis was.
Her boob kept falling out.
I'd like it to be that.
I want to know what she was using as boobs, because like the implication is coconuts, but like she's a cockroach. So was it like a walnut? But that seems pretty big for a cockroach. So was it like a peanut? But peanuts don't have like a singular nut. So like, was it like a hazelnut? That seems pretty big too. Anyway, like a raisin. Maybe it was a raisin boob.
Maybe it was a pine nut.
But it was brown, like dark brown.
Okay.
And I don't think people talked about pine nuts in 1991. Not in the contiguous United States, who weren't like specifically Italian.
Yeah.
And that's a part of the podcast. Hey, you know what? Opus is so offended. He's like so frustrated. What happens, Lydia?
Well, before we go into that, I did have another note to Opus.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Opus, don't despair. You are surrounded by animals who are being honest with themselves and making themselves into better animals.
I like Counselor Lydia. She's fun.
Thank you. But then, because...
I feel like there should be like that... it was like, who can say
Enya?
Where the... Okay, yeah. Enya should play behind you when you do that.
Okay.
Who can say... No, you do it. I'll do the fake Enya behind you. You say what you said.
Okay. Opus, don't despair. You are surrounded by animals who are being honest with themselves and making themselves into better animals. Okay. I could totally go on another tangent, but it has nothing to do with the movie, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
So Earthbound Birds Anonymous, EBA, is a loss. So Opus goes to Storm and Norman's War Toys and Balloons.
As he's marching there, he's just like, I decided to become an aeronautic vigilante.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that down, too. It was like, while he was in there, he picks up balloons, and that's when it says aeronautical vigilante. And then it cuts to Opus with balloons, check. Yes. A corset, check.
Yes.
Bill's lungs are canonically filled with helium, double check.
Or whatever. Now, we could list gases that are lighter than air.
But we are not scientists.
No, so we would assume...
It's helium.
Yeah, because that's probably what rotting tater tots gives off.
And then the Greek chorus comes back as, like, what is... Bill, like, affixes one of the last balloons, yes. But he gets his tongue tied. So he, as Opus is flying off... Bill is tethered to him, and so he goes ahead and flies off with him, but they're too heavy.
They fall down
to the ground.
Okay, but then they take off again, and they get caught in what's kind of a clothesline, but it's actually like string of lights.
Yeah.
And then they detach from one end, so now they're swinging around a pendulum. Maybe that's the wrong word for it. A centrifugal point. And then they run smashing into the Greek chorus.
But the Greek chorus doesn't actually... It looks like the line goes through them.
Oh, does it?
It does, because it doesn't look like the Greek chorus is like affected by them.
I like that they just get smashed over and over again. So I kind of thought they got smashed.
Yeah.
I have a lol next to caroling smashing lol, but whatever. Yeah. So now they eventually smash into the ground, and then Truffle shows up, right? And then between Opus being mad and Truffle egging him on, he's yelling and yelling and yelling, and then Truffle's like, and he gets frustrated, Opus gets frustrated, and he stops yelling, and then he's like, and then Truffle says, and he barfs on the Chinese rug, and then Opus goes, barfs on the Chinese rug.
Opus is so angry that he cannot fly, he is again taking it out on Bill, and do you want to know what my note is?
Is it, to do Opus? I need the Enya on? Oh.
Yeah, you should do the Enya. Mm-hmm, Opus, that was uncalled for. Bill did nothing but try and help. It's not his fault his brains are potatoes.
love that. Okay. But then he's just like, and all I want for is a wish for wings that work. And I was like,
roll credits.
So he's basically telling Bill off for the last time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he marches away. And that's the end of the letter. He like ends up at his house and he finishes writing it. He's just like, and tomorrow he like hugs the letter. He doesn't mail it.
He sends it as a fax, which is smart because it's literally Christmas Eve.
Right. And he's like, by tomorrow, I will be flying. And he takes his hat off and he puts it on the end of bed. And he realizes that it's an aviation cap. And he's like, oh, I better sleep with this on. I never did that as a kid. I never slept with the object of my like passion. So like when I see somebody else do it, I find it very endearing. So even the fact that even though I should be mad at him right now, I'm not, because I'm like, oh. So this is the part where we see Bill still sitting on his litter box far away from the house because he's respecting Opus's wishes because mm-hmm. consent is key all right. the time.
Bill is the best.
Hold on a second. We all say it together.
Bill is the best.
I'm like getting yelled at, helping his friend and then being told off by his friend and then keeping his distance. Mm-hmm. Like, that's about right, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But as we cut past Bill sitting on his litter box, he has snow built up.
Yeah.
Because he's been respectful for an entire, what is that, 3 feet of snowfall?
Yeah.
Opus, you...
Yeah. But then Santa arrives, and with fanfare.
Well, we cut away from the house, and then we're cut through the clouds, and I'm sure there's lots more of boobs and anuses and stuff. Because as we watched it, I was like, I know those clouds are something. But for the life of me, I can't figure out what they are.
We should, when we watch it the next time, we should like be upside down, or we should have it where we're looking at it upside down or at different angles.
Just us hanging off the edge of the clouds being like, I don't know. Do you see an anus?
Well, let's say we're watching this upstairs.
Yes.
We just do that twisty thing on the couch where you're like, you're on the couch, but instead of your head being upright, it's
Yeah.
That's how you do it. And then maybe we have someone like leaning to the left, one to the right.
I don't know. Like... Would you like to see my anatomical sketch of the clouds from the dismissed anus of Steven Spielberg's and Berkeley Breathe's half-birth child dream, Lydia?
It could work is all I'm saying.
I'm not mad, but we do. And was it Jen, did you say, or Lydia, did you say, we never see Santa's face?
I think I said that.
We get close-ups of bits of his face, which is like, disturbing, right?
Yeah.
Like everyone knows what Santa looks like, except that he's probably not always Caucasian.
Yeah.
But like we all have a pretty good idea of what we've been fed is what Santa looks like this whole time. He's a Caucasian guy.
Yeah.
He round and floofy. He's a plump. He's his plumpness.
His plumpness. Now he's his plumpness. Then he was like his thick Nordic man.
Some people are into it. Some people I know are into it.
Santa is credited as being voiced by two different actors, Andrew Hill Newman and Frank Welker. Frank Welker is pretty prolific. He's the voice of the Cave of Wonders and Megatron, and
just about any voice that sounds like this is Frank Welker.
That was pretty good, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the thing about Santa that I will say right now.
Okay.
His sleigh falls apart.
Yeah.
And having been stepfathered by a Boeing engineer for several years on end, that's bad maintenance. You did a bad job. You work one night a year and you're reliant on one ball socket joint and you're like not making sure all of those screws are in tight. Whose fault is it? Santa?
True. Although I would admit that if I only had to work one night a year, I would flub it up and never learn my lesson because it's the day to day that makes you more proficient at your work, right?
Yeah, I guess you're probably, so there's a point there. You're not wrong.
But he really needs some QA elves or something like that.
Right? Like, you have a troop of enslaved people. You could probably figure some shit out. You have like all those Martians from that other movie we reviewed.
I'm just a jolly man who's making you work for no money.
Jim Jar.
Jim Jar, why didn't you? Oh, it was Jim Jar. Well, now that makes sense, Jen. If you want to listen to our Santa Claus Conquers the Martians episode, Jim Jar's a whole ball of wax that you can unfurl for yourself.
So if Santa Claus has like slave labor, then it makes sense that the quality control would be lacking because he's trying to save on costs.
Or enslaved people are trying to snuff out that jolly nose, jolly bellied red nose.
So when Santa Claus heads out to out of the end of the movie, he's probably going back to, oh, this is some dark implications. I don't like to think of Santa Claus as like a slave master.
Santa in this movie doesn't do
fair, but I don't like to think of Santa in general as like I think, oh,
you can't have it both ways, Lydia. He's either a sexy thick Nordic guy or he's like a slave labor Nazi bro. I don't
see, co-ho-ho!
Santa Claus the incel.
Ho ho hail. Heil? Ho ho heil. In the year 2035, Naomi's comet was taken out of context and she was burnt alive.
Though a really interesting story would probably take Santa Claus and kind of mix it with colonialism.
Interesting.
Marriage the two. I mean, if we're talking about this, we shouldn't talk about it, though, because this is a kids movie that's only 30 minutes long.
And we're on hour and a half plus 3 weeks later.
We have been here for years.
Jen, I know you're editing this 4 weeks from now, and I'm real sorry, but I love you. Your butt is cute. Santa's probably not a Nazi. But it's not great. Did you watch the puppet history on Santa Claus, Litz? Where he brings back the Pickle Boys from the dead?
The Pickle Boys?
Yeah! One of the, from the, I only watched it like twice while I was in Idaho. He was one of his folklore things was there was some guy, a butcher, who chopped up some dead boys.
Oh, yeah.
And put them in a pickle barrel.
Oh, yeah.
And Santa Claus brought them back, and I bet they smelled like dill.
Oh, that makes me think of a joke.
Tell me.
Why do cucumbers not like being turned into pickles?
Why don't cucumbers like to be turned into pickles?
Because the experience is jarring.
That joke was delicious.
Delicious?
Delicious.
In our retrospectives at work, we have just a board that we post ideas on, and we have a little column in there for just like dad jokes and stuff, and that's going to be mine for this this 2 week time period.
Yeah.
I would say it is very, very common for Santa to be in some crisis in these movies and need some saving. Some help.
Yeah, I mean, Ernest saved Christmas that one time.
Miracle on 34th Street was all about Santa Claus going to court.
Mm-hmm. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer needs a reindeer.
Yeah, the gay-coded reindeer he couldn't accept. You, Santa.
Weep.
Like, you can't. He's just like, you're not fine until you can do something for me. Thanks, Santa. I'm only good if I'm good all the time. Do you know how exhausting that is? Do you know how many pieces of litter I've walked past and been like, well, I'm getting coal this year.
Applauders, if...
Why couldn't you just conform to the Santa youth like everyone else? Bringing it full circle!
The SS is Santa soldiers.
Okay. I know that we've been going on this wrong.
We have to stop.
I know. I'm not going to talk about my thing, though.
No, do it.
Okay, so I've been listening to this pod. Okay, so every time I start feeling good about myself,
no,
I listen to the podcast Behind the Bastards, which talks about all of the bastards in history.
Oh.
And this last episode, they were talking about anti-communist death squads. And they had mentioned, I literally listened to it this morning, but they talked about this group of people from... like Eastern Europe, like Ukraine area. Mm. And they were talking about how, like, part of the reason why the Nazis created gas chambers for the Jews is because, like, the firing squad was not something that the soldiers could actually handle. They were not actually...
Because they had to look into the eyes of the people they were murdering.
Right. But this group, which, again, I cannot remember the name of, but this group was, like, okay with like, killing Jews with bullets, but they didn't think that the Jews were worth the bullets, so they would kill them in other ways. Like, you think that the Nazi SS soldiers were like the worst, but it got so much worse that you don't actually hear about. And that's why you didn't want to bring it up. Because...
No, because here's the thing. I think about all of the elves stuck in the factory making toys every day, and they get nothing but like cocoa and candy canes, but also, like, what's he do with the dead elves? Like, it's hard to dig into ice. Is there just a pile of dead elves somewhere in the North Pole?
Provided Santa Claus is a Nazi.
I'm not saying much to the contrary. You know what? Movie goes on.
The movie does go on. Jen, you can edit all of that out.
Nope, leave it in.
No,
so now we go to look, we go to what was my childhood favorite part of the movie. So we'll probably get through it pretty fast because I'm a very simple person.
I just wanted to point out that the very first movie that we reviewed was Tusk, and their whole thing at the beginning of that movie is the Nazi party.
Oh, no. Is this going to be our last podcast? Has it come full circle?
I mean, was this 3 years of our lives coming to this culmination?
Is one of us
going to go to Canada. I know there's a lot of temptation right now to go to Canada, but we got to stay here. Just hide somewhere for a little while, I guess.
So Santa falls from the sky because it's not to mention the full elk fly off. The difference between an elk and a reindeer is the time of year when you're looking at them. So they're both. So when I say elk, I mean reindeer. When I say reindeer, I mean elk.
Okay.
Enjoy that. But then Santa Claus falls with his sleigh to the earth. And I don't feel bad. None of us feel bad. None of us think, oh no, he's dying. None of us think that. Right? But we do cut to a live action film where there's a biplane looking thing. And there's two guys who are like yelling at each other. It's like, hey, we're flying this direction. I didn't note. And I know that where we're going is this direction. I didn't note. And he's like, oh, I trust the guy. He's like, I don't think it's right. I'll go check on the pilot. The guy runs to the front of the plane. Right. He opens the door. He's like, oh, no, I don't recognize that guy. He looks like a Chinese or a Mongolian or something. And I'm like, that's not right. I know that's not right. My Caucasian ass is like, mm-mm. I don't think that's right, right? So then a lady throws herself and she's like, I can't take it anymore, blah, blah, blah.
Before she does that, though, another guy goes up there and he actually opens up the window and we see Opus in the cockpit.
And he goes, it's a penguin.
Which has obviously been dubbed.
Yes, everything is word for word until the it's a penguin. Part,
right.
Where you could kind of like, if you've watched Bad Lip Reading, that YouTube channel,
yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
like it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. And then the lady throws herself around, right?
Yeah, this movie, Sean notes that the movie is Lost Horizon from 1937,
which I've never watched. Is it like a stupidly popular movie? Like, if I was a schmucky from 20 years ago, would I have like recognized it?
While Jen is looking that up, I just want to say one thing. Before the woman starts like throwing herself around, we do see Opus in the cockpit and he's like, I'm flying this Douglas DC-3. And he's like, I'm looking for the starboard angular tutor or something like that.
Starboard ailatutor.
Ailatutor. I watched this on YouTube with the YouTube captions, which were the auto YouTube captions.
Oh, no.
So these are the things that came up.
I used to say ailatutor all the time to myself. But here's the thing. No one would get that reference. So I'd be like, Ayla Tudor, Ayla Tudor, Ayla Tudor. And it was just one of those earworms for me, real hard for like a year or two.
Well, that's not what comes up in the YouTube captions. These are the things that come up in the YouTube captions. Stabilizing angular tutor, anal the tutor. Hey there, tutor. See your daughter.
That's stupid.
Thank you for joining us for part two of our review of 1991's Opus and Bill in A Wish for Wings That Work. Get your starboard ailatutor aligned because we still have one more week until our conclusion of August 22's episode, including our shocked and applaudable moments. Of course, if you can't wait that long, we've got you covered with other great in-flight movie pods to keep your ears from popping. Fans on Patrol has a new release discussing trailers for Chainsaw Man and Vesper. And Film Floggers is discussing War of the Worlds with special guest Review It Yourself. Check out links to these episodes in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and developer of Alexa's skill to turn on Rudolph's nose, Jen. Have you ever wished that you had the unique ability to make someone fly? By reviewing us on Podchaser.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, you provide a free means to lift us up in search results to help light our way towards finding even more peculiar applauders such as yourself. We'll be back in 1 week for the conclusion of our review of this animated holiday CBS special. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.